Welcome back, everybody, into Bills Chat. I am Josh McCarty. The Bills season comes to an end against a familiar foe as the Bills lose to the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead, 32-29. I am riding solo on this episode. Luca is under the weather. And, man, this one's different, right? There's a lot to get into, and we'll get into all of it tonight. We're going to talk about all the tush pushes the Bills tried to do, the snow plows, if you will, and how, you know, unsuccessful they were. Some of the decisions to go for the 2-point conversions, the impact of losing Christian Benford very early in this game, how erratic Josh Allen was to start the game, some very questionable calls by the officials, including a fourth down spot that left most of America scratching their head, people watching the game wondering how the referees came to that conclusion. But then ultimately, a ball that hits Dalton Kincaid in the chest and ends up hitting the ground as the final offensive play the Bills run in this season, as they don't get the ball back, the Chiefs move the ball and run out the clock. So we'll go through it all. Unfortunately, this is not something we're not used to here. We know how to handle playoff losses. And right off the top, I do want to say this. I, like many of you, dream about the day that the Bills will win the Super Bowl and what that will feel like. And all week long, I dreamed about how will it feel if they punch their ticket to the Super Bowl? What will those 2 weeks be like? And you know, they slay the dragon that is the Chiefs. I think what tonight was a reminder of, and I think it's important to remember, Andre Reed tweeted about this a little bit, I think, where his point was going with that. It's a hard thing to win the Super Bowl, especially in the AFC. You know, and I know there's a segment of Bills fans that are like, oh, you got to fire McDermott. He can't get us over the hump. What does that mean? What does not getting us over the hump mean? It means that you've had a team now since 2020 that has 2019, really. They lost in the first round in 2019, but 2020 that has won their division, won at least one playoff game, made it to two AFC championship games, and lost to the Chiefs by one score three times from 2021 to present day. And you know, do you want to throw it all out and start over? Or do you want to say, this is a really hard trophy to win? It's a really good team you're trying to beat. And these painful losses stink. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And I can't tell you how to react. I can tell you how I feel. I felt like this wasn't a great game for McDermott and Babich or Joe Brady. But it's just, it's a game of inches, really. And you even look at the game last week against the Ravens, and that the sequence of events that had to go right for the Bills to win that game, just to be in position in the AFC Championship. Keep in mind, the Ravens, very good football team, eliminated before this game even started. It's not just about beating the Chiefs when they're in front of you. It's about taking care of everything that needs to be taken care of to get to the point where you can play the Chiefs in an AFC championship game. And I do think on some level, even though it's hard for many of us to swallow, I hate the Chiefs. I live too close to Kansas City. It's personal for me, like many of you, it's personal, but there has to be some level of respect for their consistency, because we've now seen far too often how hard it is to go through these playoffs without a moment like this. I want to start with the Dalton Kincaid drop, because I think maybe that's the first thing on people's minds. Dalton Kincaid has to catch that ball. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. I heard McDermott's comments after the game, and he said Kincaid's made some big plays for the Bills. The things you'd expect him to say. Kincaid's made some big plays for the Bills, and next time he'll catch the ball. Look, he might catch the ball next time. Next time will be what? Preseason? Week one against the New York Jets or whoever the Bills play? This was the AFC Championship game. This was the final drive of the AFC Championship. This was fourth down. The ball hits you in the chest. You need to catch it. There's no next time. This is the moment. Careers are defined by moments. Think of everything good Stephon Diggs did as a Buffalo Bill. And the lasting impression many Bills fans have of him is the drop against the Chiefs. And here's Dalton Kincaid on a game, you know, where Dalton Kincaid, we keep hearing about how he's a movable chess piece. What a weapon he's going to be for the Bills. Wait till the Bills get their hands on this guy. He's the best tight end prospect we've seen at that time. He didn't rank up there with Brock Bowers, but, you know, he's right up there next to Kyle Pitts. And two catches for 13 yards in the AFC Championship game against a team that really struggles to cover tight ends. You got to have more. And, you know, his career is bigger than one drop, but now we're 2 years in to a Dalton Kincaid career. And I just feel like, as I'm trying to pull up his stats here, I don't know. Dalton Kincaid was drafted by the Buffalo Bills to give them a significant upgrade at tight end over Dawson Knox. Is he better than Dawson? He's different than Dawson Knox. He's probably a better receiver than Dawson Knox. He's definitely a better route runner than Dawson Knox. I think he has better hands than Dawson Knox, although this is an awkward time to try to make that case. But he had 44 catches for 448 yards this year. That's not game-breaking. That's just a tight end in the league. When you look at Dawson Knox's career, trying to pull this up here, and I want to look at his career stats, and you know, this site, ESPN, does not want to be very user friendly here. We're not gonna dwell on it, but I think when you look at Dawson Knox's career, that's kind of where his best seasons have been. And then you even saw in the two playoff games prior to tonight, Dawson Knox outsnapped Dalton Kincaid, because for as good as Dalton Kincaid is in theory as a pass-catching weapon, Dawson Knox is the more versatile tight end. He allows the Bills to run the ball more effectively and build off of play action. And it makes the Bills harder to defend in many ways, because the defense has to respect the run and the pass when Knox is out there. Where with Kincaid, it's kind of like a big receiver. So, you know, it was a tough night for Dalton Kincaid, and it ended with the ultimate moment for him. And boy, that was a shame too, because talk about Josh Allen absolutely making something out of nothing. Josh Allen, I mean, as soon as the ball is snapped, it's fourth and five. As soon as the ball is snapped, Josh Allen has three Chiefs in his face. It's incredible to me that ball made it within 10 yards of any Bills player. But somehow, some way, it hits Dawson Knox in the chest. And I'm not naive enough to think that that's the way they drew it up, or even, I'm sorry, Dalton Kincaid in the chest, or even Dalton Kincaid thought the ball was coming to him. But the reality is the ball's in the air. Josh Allen does off-schedule throws all the time. The game's on the line. The ball hits you in the chest. The Bills trade up to get you to add a weapon to the offense, and the ball hits the ground. That's all that you have to know about that play. And that would have been an all-time moment. In the history of the NFL, that would have been an all-time play. A play that couldn't have looked more dead from the beginning. Josh Allen keeps it alive, throws a prayer that somehow hits his receiver in the chest that would have put them in field goal range to tie the game, also put them in driver's seat to go down and win the game with a touchdown. But instead, they're off the field. You know, you're left wondering, what if? I'm tired of what ifs. You're tired of what ifs. You know, what if Tyler Bass makes the kick last year? What happens? What if Sean McDermott squib kicks it on 13 seconds? What happens? So many what ifs, man. But, you know, it's John Madden always said it best about the playoffs. The playoffs, it's one of those things where the further you go, the deeper you go into the playoffs, the harder it hurts when you lose. You know, think about Denver Broncos. They lose round one and they're like, all right, we were outclassed. it is what it is. The Ravens last week, that team felt some pain. They felt like they were supposed to win that game, and they didn't, and the Bills won. And now you keep multiplying it the deeper you get. It's a lot of pain that comes with it. 12 teams make the playoffs, one team wins a Super Bowl. It's really hard to be that one team. Let's talk about Josh Allen's night. I get the sense that this is going to go down in history like many Josh Allen playoff losses, Bills playoff losses. And I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. I hope that's obvious. Where Josh Allen is going to get very little blame. And the story of the game is going to be about how Josh Allen did everything he could and his teammates let him down. I do think in the big moment, that was true. I think whether it was whatever happened on the offensive line to allow all those free rushers to come in on fourth down or Kincaid dropping the ball, that certainly was true. But I will tell you this, Josh Allen started this game very chaotic. From the first snap of the game, the Bills call a design Josh Allen run, and I think we're all thinking, that's kind of strange. I haven't seen the Bills start a game like that. My immediate concern when I heard that, when I saw that was, I wonder if Joe Brady and Sean McDermott maybe noticed that Josh Allen was a little tight pregame. And he's always said that he likes to get hit once, feel a hit, kind of get him going in the game. I wonder if that was by design. And then the next two passes hits Chiefs players in the chest and the hands. Two could have been interceptions on the first drive. And the Bills punt and the Chiefs go down and score a touchdown. And you're thinking, holy cow, what's happening here? But then the Bills get the ball back and Josh Allen drops a shotgun snap that hits him right in the hands. Josh Allen had a throw to Curtis Samuel where he's crossing the field and there wasn't a Chief within 10 yards of him. Curtis Samuel could have maybe scored even though it was at midfield, but Josh Allen throws a ball that Curtis Samuel has to turn around and try to catch and the ball ends up hitting the ground. The drive goes nowhere. It wasn't a good Josh Allen night. It was a good Josh Allen in totality, I suppose, but there were enough Josh Allen mistakes early on. He was part of the problem early on. You know who had a great night was James Cook. James Cook is going to be an interesting conversation piece for Bills fans this offseason because I think, in general, the school of thought with running backs is you get them through their first contract, you don't extend them, you kind of do what the Giants and Giants did with Saquon Barkley. You get them through the first contract, and then you let them go. How's that looking, by the way? But I'm not generally a big believer in paying big money for contracts. But on a night where the Bills really struggled to get anything going, James Cook was not part of the problem at all. He had one of the most insane touchdowns you'll ever see on fourth down, where he put maximum effort into it to extend that ball over the goal line. He averaged 6.5 yards per carry in this game, and he only carried the ball 13 times. I love Ty Johnson. I like Ray Davis. I understand they rotate backs, and I understand Ty Johnson is the third down back, and in heavy pass situations, they're going to go to him. But at some point, I feel like this team loses its way with feeling which players are having the hot hand. And boy, oh boy, did it seem like James Cook had the hot hand tonight. The last drive of the game, he doesn't even get a touch. I don't understand it. I truly don't. Also added three catches for 49 yards. James Cook was the best Bills player on offense tonight. Best Bills player overall. That includes Josh Allen. Josh Allen ended up with a good enough night, but, and, you know, ultimately was let down on the last play of the game. But, you know, between not getting these tush pushes, which I probably would put more on the offensive line and the refs, and some of the miscues early, it's hard to give Josh Allen like the nod of, oh, he's the guy that carried them. What else did we learn tonight? It's hard to beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. The moment doesn't ever seem too big for them, but also I don't want to dwell on this too much. I think there'll be plenty of conversation around it on other podcasts and WGR. You know, it is a reality now. The statistics bear it out. Warren Sharp is going to hit on it really well with his thread. Adam Schefter is now tweeting about it. There is a massive discrepancy historically now between what happens penalty-wise between the Chiefs and other teams. You can always chalk up some of that to, well, the Chiefs are a good team. Good teams don't get penalized. But when it's every single game, that doesn't feel right. And we saw it tonight. We saw it way too often tonight. And if you follow Bills chat, if you follow me, you know that I am not a blame the refs guy. I think that's one, I don't think it's interesting conversation, right? Because if I sit here tonight, right, if I want to blame Dalton Kincaid, there's a pathway for that conversation. That conversation can be, oh, maybe the Bills need a new tight end. Maybe the Bills need to think about getting another wide receiver. Maybe Dalton Kincaid wasn't a good draft pick. There's avenues for that conversation to take off on. Should they have drafted a tight end there? Should they have tried to get a wide receiver? You know the conversation. When it feels like the refs screwed you, what am I supposed to do? Sit here and sulk and self-pity? How am I supposed to get better from that? Well, hope you don't play the Chiefs. Cool. It's just, there's nowhere to go with that conversation, but I think enough people are becoming aware of it. And I do think the NFL has an integrity problem right now with these calls. And it's a lot of calls. You saw some situations where, you know, I mean, Kyer Elam, we'll talk about him in a second. And, you know, he did hold on a couple of these plays. But to me, the big one was every single spot that the refs were spotting the Bills what felt like a yard short. And then the big spot, the Bills are up with the ball late in the third quarter and it's fourth and one. And to my eyes, to the camera's eyes, to the referee at the top of the screen's eyes, Josh Allen gets the first down, and the referee at the bottom of the screen comes running in, marking him short. And then ultimately, replay review doesn't show enough to overturn it, even though it sure should have. It's frustrating. I don't know what to do with it. You know, you sound like a whiner when you blame the refs. There was enough Bills mistakes to go around tonight, but the NFL has a problem with referees right now. There's a trend that's concerning. And, you know, the Taylor Swift angle, as somebody who, you know, I don't necessarily care about Taylor Swift. I don't mean that any kind of way other than I'm not really a music guy. My daughter's a big Taylor Swift fan. But I don't, when I say I don't care about Taylor Swift, I'm not somebody that gets bothered that she gets shown five or six times during the game. I mean, I watch the NBA. I would watch a game in Toronto. You see Drake all the time. Watch a game in LA during the playoffs. Jack Nicholson's on your screen constantly. This isn't a new phenomenon. Maybe it is for several NFL fans. Maybe people hold it against her because she's a woman. I don't know. I don't know what it is. That stuff doesn't bother me, but there's a segment of people that think, oh, the NFL wants to push the Chiefs through because Taylor Swift is a mega, mega star. And this Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce relationship is bringing eyes to the screen. And I roll my eyes at it. But then now you see all these data points that show the Chiefs get the benefit of the doubt with almost every game they're playing in the playoffs. It's hard for someone like me to make the case of like, oh, come on, that's silly. And I don't know that it's directly because of Taylor Swift. No, because the Chiefs were getting calls well before Taylor Swift was a thing for the Chiefs. But the whole thing is obnoxious at this point. There's no fun way to have the conversation because you have the misogynists on one side that are just going to hate her because she's a woman and she's on her screen and, oh, this is football. Those losers. Then you have the people that are, you know, genuinely just fed up with what feels like the Chiefs always getting every call. And, you know, and then you have your Chiefs haters and, you know, it's just, it's a dead end conversation. The NFL's got to figure it out. You had Troy Aikman last week screaming from the mountaintop. Good for him. Adam Schefter tweeting about it, Adam Schein complaining about it, Dave Portnoy. I mean, all there's a lot of big voices that are calling out the NFL. But Dalton Kincaid catches a pass. It's largely swept under the rug. He didn't. And the Bills lose. Thought the Bills' defense had a really tough night. Christian Benford leaves the game very early. A second drive of the game goes down with a concussion. Did not look good. He spent the better part of last week in concussion protocol. It was his first noted concussion in the NFL. I got the sense that based on how it looked, that had the Bills won this game, it would have been very challenging to get him back in time for the Super Bowl, based on how that looked. Kyrie Elam was not ready for the moment, and that has unfortunately been the story of his career. One thing I will tell you, if you want a glimmer of positivity, if you want something that's good news, and it's not going to sound like good news, is Rasul Douglas has a contract that's expiring. Given his age, given how I thought and many thought that his play kind of declined as the season went on, he's not somebody that I'm necessarily in a hurry to see the Bills extend. There was a school of thought from me even early in the season, particularly how he looked in training camp, that if it wasn't for Rasul Douglas being here opposite Christian Benford, who's excellent, that Kyer Elam had taken enough of a step that he's a startable cornerback in the league. And maybe the Bills have their cornerback of the future next year. And it just so happens that there's too good of starters in front of them. I think we can forget about that. Kyer Elam came in the game and the Chiefs targeted him left and right. I'm curious how the man zone splits are going to look after this game. The Bills clearly came into this game wanting to play man defense on the Chiefs. Obviously, your plans change when your best quarterback leaves the game early. There were situations when Damar Hamlin was left covering Xavier Worthy. There were situations when Damar Hamlin was covering Travis Kelce. Damar Hamlin is a fantastic story. He was a solid at times starter for the Bills this year. I have zero desire to see him starting for the Bills next year. Zero desire. Cole Bishop has more athleticism. He also is a box safety. I think your starting safeties next year are Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop, but I would not be surprised if the Bills use a relatively high pick to backfill that position. But Kyer Elam, Dalton Kincaid letting you down, Keon Coleman having one catch for 12 yards. These are high picks. These are your first pick in the 22 draft, 23 draft, and 24 draft. Go back the last three drafts, the first pick in those drafts, Keon Coleman, first pick in the second round, one catch for 12 yards. He wasn't a factor tonight, not at all. Dalton Kincaid, two drafts ago, two catches for 13 yards, the biggest drop of the night. Kyer Elam, the absolute weakness on defense. They could not target him anymore. Wherever he was, just they were throwing the ball at him. Your last three drafts. I think Brandon Bean ultimately is a very good GM. I think the Bills are lucky to have him. I'm certainly not calling for Brandon Bean's head. And I do think that there's this idea that all first-round picks are created equal when you're talking about a GM who consistently picks, you know, 24th, 25, 26 through about 30. It's, it's hard to find blue chippers down there. And he's done a good job. He's found Greg Rousseau. James Cook was a second round pick. Christian Benford was a sixth round pick. Terrell Bernard was a third round pick. So he's found some studs, but those are some misses, man. And those are some misses that came the first three drafts after the 13 seconds game. What are you going to do? Those are the guys that you identified in large part as the guys who would help you close the gap on the Chiefs. And you could make a really good argument that those are the three main reasons why the Bills didn't beat the Chiefs again. So you know, I don't really want to do this. I don't think it matters. I think it's more of a fun talking point, but the leading receiver in tonight's game was Xavier Worthy. 6 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown, and had another 2 carries for 16 yards. It's out there. You guys know what that means. It is what it is. The Bills traded down to get Keon Coleman, and by trading down, they drafted Dwayne Carter, who was inactive tonight. I didn't love Xavier Worthy in the draft, by the way. I didn't. I liked Keon Coleman better as a prospect. I didn't love either of them. I, quite frankly, would have taken Adonai Mitchell over both of them. I mean, who knows who will end up being right in that. But it's not about me. The Bills trade away from Xavier Worthy on a night where Xavier Worthy is the leading receiver in the game, 6 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. The player the Bills opted to go for, Keon Coleman, was a non-factor. And then the bonus they got from trading down Dwayne Carter was inactive. There's no other way to spend that other than that was a loss this year. So the Chiefs, along with many other things, have that going for them against the Bills. So where do we go from here? I don't have a huge desire to like jump right into draft season, the Senior Bowls next week. It really sneaks up on you when your team makes deep playoff runs. Back in the drought days, your season would end the last week of December, first week of January, and you'd have a month to decompress. And by the time the Senior Bowl got here, you were like, yeah, football. Like, let's see who we're going to draft. I'm not there. I'm ready to decompress. I, like many of you, am convinced tonight that I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. I will watch it. But you ask me right now, I'm saying I'm not going to watch it. I have a bad taste in my mouth from tonight. I don't have any desire to watch the Chiefs win again. I don't care about the Eagles. And I feel like if I see another bad call go in the Chiefs' favor, it's going to make me hate the sport. But football fan, it's the last game for a handful of months. I'll hate watch the Chiefs. They'll probably win, be one last annoyance before football goes away for a while. Is what it is. Let's do game balls and game checks for this game. And then maybe we'll talk about some coaching blunders that I didn't necessarily care for. My game ball is going to be for James Cook. I don't know who else it could be. James Cook played tonight like he wanted to be a champion. It was a championship game and he gave you a championship effort. And James Cook deserved to be a champion the way he played. Only got 13 carries, not enough. Only got 16 touches, not enough. 6.5 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, and the play of the game for the Bills with extending that fourth down over the line. James Cook's my player of the game ball, well-deserved, and it's going to be a tricky conversation with Cook whether you extend him or not. I think the Bills almost have to now, although I don't want to give him $20 million a year, but he's the most consistent playmaker you have on your offense that's not named Josh Allen. And he showed up tonight in a big way in a game that's the biggest game in this franchise history in about 30 years. My game check is going to go to Kaiir Elam. It's hard to give a game check to a backup that comes in and plays like a backup, but my God, Kaiir Elam, could you have played any worse? 10 yards off the ball, multiple opportunities where you are trailing the receiver you're responsible for in man coverage by about 10 yards. I thought you were athletic. I thought you were fast. I thought man coverage was your thing in Florida. It was supposed to be that Kaiir Elam was a man press corner, and it's odd that we drafted him to a zone defense, but he comes in tonight and looks like he doesn't have a clue how man coverage works. Where's your leverage? Bills, for a team that came in tonight, and this is not just a Kaiir Elam point, for a team that came in tonight seemingly dead set on playing man coverage, they had no idea how to work through picks and work through bodies. Every time there was traffic, they got caught up in it. You can't have it. I want to mention Tyler Bass. Tyler Bass had a fantastic playoffs, guys. Tyler Bass is going to be your kicker next year, and he deserves to be. Back-to-back weeks in the playoffs, he hit 50-plus yard field goals. He went perfect on every kick in the playoffs that he kicked. Tyler Bass had a monster postseason. Had the Bills gotten down in field goal range, and this is saying something a lot, I had every bit of confidence in the world he would have made that kick. Good for Tyler Bass. He's going to be your kicker next year, and he deserves to be. I thought Matt Milano had a strong couple moments. There was a point when he was spying Mahomes and tackled him short. Jordan Phillips had a really big splash play late in the game that gave the Bills an opportunity to get the ball back down by three. We all would have taken that scenario. But ultimately, that drive didn't amount to much. Mac Hollins showed up in a massive way. Huge catches down the stretch. Huge touchdown drive. That's a guy that I want the Bills to bring back. Big attitude guy. That's about it. Thought the special teams had another horrendous night. That long kickoff return. What, three or four missed tackles? Bills are going to be in the market for a new special teams coordinator. I can almost guarantee it. I thought Terrell Bernard was a ghost out there. Got caught up in the wash a lot. And he was the guy on the last play of the game that the only chance to stop Samaje Perine, and he didn't. It wasn't necessarily his fault, but, you know. I thought Ed Oliver had a really strong game. I thought he was really disruptive out there. Did Von Miller play? Are we done with Von Miller now? I'm done with Von Miller now. Didn't see him make any effort, not any effort. Effort's not the word I want there. I didn't see him make any impact out there. Thought it was telling that the last drive of the game, the last sequence there, when the Bills are trying to get the ball back, Von Miller's on the sidelines. You know, you need a money play. You want your best players on the field, and he's not one of them. He's not. It was a good idea when they did it. They desperately needed a pass rusher. And up until the point when he tore his ACL in Detroit on Thanksgiving, he was worth every penny. But he was always an age risk. And then when he tore that ACL, it seemingly zapped any of the high-end Von Miller that we had left. And age and injury have caught up with him. And he's now, I think, pretty much damaged goods. I expect he'll be gone at the end of the year. Christian Benford. He had an excellent season. Christian Benford, I think, is one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL, although I do think he's still a little bit limited athletically. He plays the position very fundamentally sound, and he's a great fit for this defense. The one knock on Christian Benford has always been availability. Up until this year, he had never completed a full 16, 17 game season without missing a game. And while he did he play all the games this year up until playoffs? Let's take a look at that. I feel like maybe he even missed a game this year. I could be wrong on that. No, he missed a game because he missed the game against the Dolphins because Elam started that game. But again, you know, in concussions, you want to be careful like how aggressive you want to go after somebody for getting a concussion. But, you know, Christian Benford wasn't available for 95% of the most important game the Bills have had in 30 years after missing the Chiefs game last year in the playoffs. Christian Benford has been on this team for 3 years and he has played zero playoff games start to finish without either getting hurt or missing the game because of injury. What do you do with that? You don't. How hard do you want to go after a guy for a concussion? I don't really have the appetite to do that, but the reality of the situation is when you are his age, when you play that position, you are going to get a very hefty contract at the cornerback position, and this is a guy that time and time again, when playoffs roll around, you cannot count on him. So I assume the Bills are going to pay him. He's a fantastic player, but it's tough. It's a hard conversation to have, but it's a real conversation. This is one of those times when you don't feel like the best person in the world bringing up the fact that he's been hurt, especially when it's a concussion. But it's the reality. Sean McDermott. I thought Sean McDermott had an okay game. I thought early on, I liked his long field goal attempt. I thought the Bills' offense looked way out of sorts. I had zero confidence the Bills were going to get a 4th and 5 early in the game the way Josh Allen was playing. And Bass making that kick was great for his confidence. I thought that was a good move. I wanted the Bills to go for 2 when they were down by 5, and then they made the extra point to make it 4, but then the Chiefs were offsides. I wanted them to go for 2 because given how almost automatic their snowplow, tush push, whatever you want to call it, has been this year, that's a gamble I'd be willing to take, but the Chiefs stopped it, and that was the theme of the night. Every snowplow was very, very difficult to get, including at a point in the game when the Bills had the lead and the ball in the 3rd quarter, and they couldn't pick it up on 4th and inches. Thanks, refs. But, you know, there was a time in the year where the Bills would have gotten that so decisively that the refs couldn't have even had a chance to take it away from them. I don't know what you do there. Do you want to blame Sean McDermott for going for it? Aren't we all screaming at the TV? Oh, just quarterback sneak it. You'll get it. So I didn't mind the 2-point conversion there. I didn't mind, again, going for the 2-point conversion the second time, because when you miss the first one, the second one just kind of evens things out, but they were trying to get up by 3. Long developing play. I think maybe Shakir was open, but you know, that wasn't like an inspiring play call. The Chiefs, what you noticed tonight was something Luca brought up on our preview show, is these two teams have played so often now, really twice a year outside of 2022, every single year, that it's almost like they're division rivals. And what you noticed tonight was the Chiefs had a great feel for what Josh Allen liked to do when he got off schedule, what he liked to do as far as where he threw the ball whenever he starts scramble mode, and they had a really good feel for how to keep him in the pocket. They had a good game plan. I came on our preview show and I was like, good luck, Spags, if you're going to blitz Josh Allen. Well, in my face, Spags drew up some heater blitzes and the offensive line wasn't ready for it. I thought this was probably the worst offensive line performance I'd seen in a while. Spencer Brown got beat once on a sack fumble. But from here, what do we have? We have the Super Bowl that we're all going to have to just gut through. And then it's all eyes on free agency and the draft. And what are the Bills going to do with some of their free agents like Rasul Douglas, Amari Cooper? Are you in a hurry to bring back Amari Cooper? I'm not. I thought Amari Cooper for the 3rd round pick was a worthwhile gamble. I thought Amari Cooper did some things to open up this offense, but ultimately he was just a guy here. There was even multiple instances down the stretch, the Bills' last drive of the season, where he wasn't on the field. Not in a hurry to give that guy $15 to $20 million a year. Wide receiver is going to be another need this year, next year, next season. You know, when you look at what the Bills have coming back, Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper, unrestricted free agents. Khalil Shakir going into the last year of his rookie deal. You got to find a way to extend that guy. Curtis Samuel is going to be here. And Keon Coleman will be here on the 2nd year of his 4-year rookie deal. But Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, and Keon Coleman is not the foundation of a great wide receiver group. Yet, maybe Keon Coleman takes a step, but the Bills with Josh Allen are in no position to just count on that. It's going to be interesting. I think the defense overachieved for much of the year. You know, one thing I wanted to say, I think there was a lot of, oh man, why do we always get so unlucky with injuries? Coming into tonight's game, the Bills were missing a total of one player of their preferred starters on both sides of the ball, and that was Taylor Rapp. And that's going back to training camp. If you go back to training camp, St. John Fisher, when every team has nothing but hope, and you were to line up who are your preferred starters if you played the Chiefs in the playoffs on offense and defense, the Bills had them all, including Milano, who was playing well, and they just didn't get it done. Injuries were not an excuse. They lost Benford mid-game, early game, but it's not why they lost the game. It factors into why they lost the game, but ultimately speaking, their playmakers had enough chances to make plays, and they didn't make plays. I want to finish this point up, or this episode up, by talking about Josh Allen. Josh Allen now, right or wrong, is kind of getting a national reputation as a guy that can't win the big game. We've seen it with Peyton Manning. We saw it with John Elway, if you go back that far. Ultimately, Peyton Manning and John Elway both ended up getting over the hump. I still feel like the odds are better than not that Josh Allen will eventually get a Super Bowl. But the issue is the issue you saw tonight. To get to a Super Bowl, you have to eventually be able to beat Patrick Mahomes, and the Bills have had four chances at it, and three of them have been one-score games, and the Bills can't get it done. So when you see how hard it is to just beat Lamar Jackson, when you factor in the fact that Joe Burrow's coming back, CJ Stroud's going to get better. This is a tough hill to climb. You start to wonder, are you going to need somebody else to knock off the Chiefs for the Bills to have a shot? You're about halfway through the Josh Allen era. I mean, he could be one of these players that plays into his 40s. He absolutely could be, I guess. But he's not going to be doing this in his 40s. So, tough pill to swallow. Don't get wrapped up, though, on the whole, we didn't win, so it's a failure. It's not. One team wins. It's not like it was lack of effort or lack of vision. I mean, this team had every opportunity to win. They went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. Plays were there to be made. It wasn't like Brandon Bean had bad vision when he built this roster. There was an opportunity for this roster he built to beat the Chiefs tonight, and the players just didn't get it done. So, some form of run it back next year. Joe Brady will be back. We know that. Some form of run it back is probably the best way to do it. You know, get a couple more weapons, get some things on defense. The defense badly needs an alpha. I don't think this defense has any great players. Can I just say that? I don't think, as presently constructed, this defense has a single great player on it. I think Christian Benford is very good. I think Terrell Bernard is good. I think Matt Milano is good to very good, depending on how healthy he is. And I think Ed Oliver, depending on the day, is either very good or average. Greg Rousseau, I think he's somewhere between good and very good. There's not a singular great player on this team. And, you know, Taron Johnson, love him to death. He helps the Bills defense be flexible with how he can keep them in nickel, even against two tight ends. But he's not a lockdown cover corner. So I think we know that. There's weaknesses to his game. I think he's somewhere between good and very good. And, you know, you can win with a lot of good to very good players, but there's not one player on the Bills defense that opposing offenses have to account for every single play, because he's going to wreck your game plan. And I think beyond anything else, that has to be the goal this offseason, is to somehow, some way find that player. Pie in the sky, you trade for a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett, maybe Khalil Mack wants to come home. I don't know if he's that guy anymore in his career. But that's the challenge. You got to find those great players. And offensively, they need another great receiver because they don't have any great receivers right now. They have guys that are either average or good. And unfortunately, I think there's more average than good. But look, last thing I'll say to you all, this was a tough loss. It stings. But it's why we love sports. This isn't a Disney movie. This isn't the WWE. The good guy doesn't come out on top just because it's his turn or her turn. It's competition. If this were a movie, it'd be getting terrible reviews because it's a rerun of the last 3 years where the Chiefs win. But it's sports. It's competition. And unfortunately, the only thing that's guaranteed is that we have no control over it. We root, we cheer, we love, we feel pain, and we come back and do it again. And I know it feels like a long way to go to get yourself back up to being excited about the draft and free agency and training camp and doing the whole regular season again. And now it's like, oh, now we got to win the division. Oh, we're in the playoffs. Now the games start again. Like, I get it. I get it. But it's all you can do. Maybe next year will be your year. But I think if this team taught us anything, if this Bills team that truly did come within an eyelash of making the Super Bowl taught us anything, it's that it's not always the collection of talent that says whether a team is good or not. This team had something special. And I think that's why we all got a real soft spot for them pretty early on. They weren't the most talented team, but they were cohesive. They played well together. They clearly bonded. The Mr. Brightside stuff was really fun. And they were within an eyelash of making it to the Super Bowl, and they didn't get it done. And that's all we're going to remember. But I think there's something more to team building than just finding the most talented player. So I don't know. It long off season ahead for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott to figure out what they can do to get this team back to where it was tonight, where you're standing on the other side of the field from the Kansas City Chiefs. And you have to beat them to get to the Super Bowl. It's a long process to just get to this point. It's hard to get to this point. The Dallas Cowboys haven't been here for about 30 years. So nothing's guaranteed. Build the best team you can. Win your division. Get in the playoffs, be healthy, take a shot at it. They won two playoff games this year. They were down to the last three teams standing. They had a lead in the second half of the AFC Championship game, a lead and the ball, but it wasn't meant to be. I don't know what is going to be our next Bills Chat episode. If the Bills had won, we almost certainly would have had a roundtable show next weekend to kind of talk about the Super Bowl and everything. But I think we're going to let this episode breathe. We'll certainly keep you updated on Twitter. Follow us there, Bills Chat Pod. We'll certainly be around this offseason, and we'll get you ready for the draft and free agency. We'll be all over it. Like, you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, sometimes when the season ends, it helps for us to decompress, and maybe it will be a week or two or three, and we come back and let the Super Bowl breathe for a little bit, and then we'll kind of put our bow on this season. What's next for the Bills is, unfortunately, locker cleanout day will be, I guess, tomorrow, and McDermott and Bean will speak to the media this week, and we'll hear a lot of this wasn't supposed to be a season where the Bills competed, and you know, everybody said that the Bills weren't good enough, and there was a lot of that chatter out there. But unfortunately, look, that doesn't get you anything. The attaboys, the pat on the backs, that doesn't mean anything. the reality is you were in the AFC Championship game. You had the lead, you had the ball, and you didn't get it done. So only one team does. It's a hard thing to do. Anyway, I am Josh McCarty. I will talk to you all next time on Bills Chat. While you're here, if you could be kind enough to like and subscribe, we would love, love, love that. We are slowly growing our YouTube audience. And this has been a very fun season. And there are more fun seasons to go. There are still many, many, many teams in this league that would love to trade places with our Buffalo Bills. But unfortunately, the place we are standing is not on the way to the Super Bowl. Hopefully next year. I'm Josh McCarty. I'll see you all next time on Bills Chat.